بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There is a famous story, books of hadith. The person who murdered 99 persons. Really fair to someone. Is there any tawbah for him? Allah Ta'ala loves all His servants. There isn't a person who Allah Ta'ala doesn't love. And because of His love, then He creates a consciousness and an awareness in the mind. And when that consciousness comes, then some persons exploit it. They make good use of it. And some persons abuse it. Like in this world, we have opportunities. Someone will use them and someone will abuse them. This happens. And this is the whole trial about that. Are you using it rightly or are you abusing it? So there's several ways to use it correctly and several ways to abuse it. This person is using it correctly, is not that concerned, killed 99 persons. So he wants to correct himself. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with the consciousness. So now, how is he going to respond to it? So I say, is consciousness and awareness, sometimes someone abuses and sometimes someone uses. So knowledge is to enable you to see right. Knowledge is to enable you to see right. Knowledge is not a guarantee that you will do right. Yes. It enables you to see right. But will you do right? A different thing. You can then misuse that knowledge and you can use that knowledge. So the knowledge is to enable you, the light to show you. But then it's left to you that you're using it rightly or incorrectly. So that is why you hear of Mullah Jami, Imam Ghazali, and Imam Razi, all these people here. They acquired the formal education, then they exerted themselves to learn the application, correct application. So like they spent 10 years, 12 years to get the word, then they exerted themselves equally to get the application right. And the application will be two kinds. One, what we see visible, like namaz, etc. One is the application on the heart. Now you can say it's complete. And if it is that you've got the knowledge, but you didn't work on the application, then it's like a doctor, he did the 6-year course, but he didn't go for an internship. He didn't go for a community service. Was he allowed to practice? Why? So, like the body is important, deen is much more important. The worst scenario in neglecting the body is death, right? But the scenario for neglecting deen is jahannam. So if this is important, then that is important. So they worked out 5 years of medical science, then so many years of community internship, etc. So much. In fact, they tell me that after the 4th year, then they make them apply themselves. 3 year or 4th year of medication, I will go and apply yourself here, they go this hospital, that hospital, the other hospital, go and apply yourself. It's so important. And then when you apply yourself, they put you through the mill, really put you through the mill. One Buddha is telling me, sometimes you have to run a 24-hour service. And it is an emergency that they extend it 24, 36 hours. And you just do it. You can't refuse to do it. So, that was just to learn a profession. Profession to save a body. And that also is more for material reasons, that why I'll do this and I'll get a lot of money. So what is the catalyst? Money, right? Now, we are talking about Allah Ta'ala. Hereafter, Jannat, it's a perpetual thing. So what level of application, then physical, mental, spiritual, all have to be. The mind has to be right, the spirit has to be right, the physical self has to be right. How much? So now, someone acquired some knowledge. See, I'm showing you now, abuse and use. Use and abuse. So, it's left to the person what he does. He abuses it or uses it. So, there's so many of these stories here. India has got an old story, old history. Islam is in India. In the beginning, I can safely say approximately 1300 years, safely. So long Islam is there, right? Maybe even more than 1300 years, but Islam is there. So it have an old Islamic history, what happened this time and that time and the other time, what happened. So it's nice to draw from this. Now, in history, what happens to many people, they listen to history for the entertainment. What happened after that? What Shaka did, and what Dingaan did, and then there's the Diking, what he did. So you're just listening to the entertainment. The lesson that is to take out is different. So now he got a little bit of knowledge now. Now, he doesn't have the money. So now, what does he do? He's craving some good meal, see. Like how iftar time, then you all crave for something good, right? If there's masoor and no savory, then you say, hey, what happened to these people today? Right? So you want something to save our spirits. So he's got a little bit of education and now he has to apply himself. So in India, that time, even when we were there, in the villages, a chicken is like a very rare luxury chicken. You don't normally eat it. It's rare, very seldom you enjoy it. But if you enjoy it, you really enjoy it. It's too good. So now one person, the same person, yeah, he saw that rooster, nice fat, and it strayed away. So now he learned the masla that if something is strayed away, then to find the owner becomes compulsory, especially if you feel that it's going to be destroyed. Like a Muslim's life, right? Is precious, then his property also is precious. If his life is endangered, then you will look after him, you will take care of him. And it's not an optional thing, it's a compulsory thing. Similarly, is his property. So if his life is in danger, his property is in danger, then you will run to his rescue, you will try and help him out. Then, how much more will it be compulsory if his deen is in danger, then to rescue that. So his life is important, his wealth and property is important, and then his deen is also important. So all this has to be done. I was explaining this point to some students. I say, see, what were the circumstances for the Sahaba Ikram migrating? They left Makkah Mukarrama first to Habash, Abyssinia, and thereafter to Medina Munawwara. But what were the circumstances? Because you know the circumstance, then you come to the right conclusion. The circumstance in Makkah Mukarrama was, it was an unfriendly dini environment, unfriendly, hostile towards Islam. And because of the hospitality, they had to move on to a surrounding that was Islamic friendly. But every day there's an aggression, hostility, torture, persecution, killing, humiliating, from the ruling class. When it's from the ruling class, then it's difficult to stop. See, if one is your equal, then you can correct it. But he's the ruling class. And the ruling class can't do anything about it. So now it's nice to study what they did. See, one is inventing our own styles, right? See, the ruling class is doing this, and then let's be good with them. Now that's one style, right? One approach. But now it's nice, the safest way is what was done by Rasulullah Sallallahu and the Sahaba Kiram. Now all these things, you'll get a lot of information about these things in the Indian history. I say this history is not supposed to be taken as a sleeping tablet or as an entertainment. What we do, a nice one, nice book, if at the bedside, that sleeping tablet, you can't get the sleep, just browse to a couple of pages. See, so you talk of environment, right? Either we go to a safe environment where we can practice our deen freely, properly, correctly, no impediments, no obstructions, nothing, nobody stopping us. Whatever we need to do for deen, we must do, we can do it, nobody can stop us. So we find a free environment, talk about deen, practice deen, apply it on ourselves, talk to others about deen, got the freedom to do it. Right. But if you can't find it, then we leave our place, go to another place. But now, people ask sometimes, that what if it is difficult to find a place? That argument is not right. If you look, you'll find it. You'll find a place where you can practice your deen properly and correctly. But then, are you eager enough to go and find the place? Where all around you is Islam. You can smell, you can breathe Islam, you can see Islam, you can work for Islam. If you look, you'll find. But we just say, you know, we can't find something. Now, you can't find something that can make you feel comfortable at your level. But you can go and practice Islam environment, you can find it. Not that you can't find it. So that was the circumstances that surrounded the whole Hijrah. He left the homes. No Islamic environment. Now why is the surrounding so important? So Mabsood Saraqsi says that if it's a non-Islamic, an unfriendly Islamic environment, no Islam there, right? Unfriendly, hostile towards Islam. Of course, Imam Muhammad Rahmatullahi says that even to be intimate with your wife is not permissible. Why? Because that intimacy will result in children, and the child will be exposed to the environment. Right? It's going to be exposed to the environment that is going to be dangerous. What are you going to do? The environment is not conducive. So, one is either the place is friendly, or the second option is you move to a friendly Islamic environment. But now, we become in a comfort zone. What has happened to us, we have come into a comfort zone. But whatever it is important now that we find an environment that is friendly for our Islam and for the children of Islam. Because you're living as a family. You're living as a family, that is not only your Islam, it is your wife's Islam. So something to see that you are functioning well, something to see that your wife is functioning well, and something to see that your growing children, until they settle, right, they are functioning well. So that becomes your duty. So the third option that I can think of Allah Pakhanu said, then is to connect yourself to a group that will work towards improving the environment. A group that is working for what? To make it a conducive environment. So the environment is conducive, encouraging you of namaz, dress correctly, talk about the right things. If you're having a function, do it correctly. Doing business and see you doing right. So in all your matters, your character, your dealings, your deen, your beliefs, your thinking right. So you have to create an environment. You have to make it happen. Can't say I can't help it now. My child has to study, and then I know evolution is wrong, but now how is he going to then stand on his feet? How is he going to stand? You can't be that. You have to look after your Islam, no matter where you are, here or Australia, wherever. But that's your duty. That was done. See, showing the Sahaba, you cannot Makkah, what they did. They looked for an environment, didn't they? Haven't they done that? And failure to do that now, if the environment doesn't eat you up, it will generally eat your child up. Or it will make it your wife. Someone will be eaten up. So you have to make an environment that is Islam conducive for you, for your wife, and for your growing children. At least that's the minimum requirement. Because of the ayat, Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum. See what the ayat is here. Save yourselves and your household. So this is an amr, it's a command. The command comes to show obligation. Amru lil wujud. So to take care of yourself, your wife, and your children, doesn't it become an obligation? When it's a command of Allah. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum. To save who? Yourself and your household. Save. How are you going to save yourself? Save them by making them proper Muslims. You've made them proper Muslims, alright, now you've done your duty. But otherwise, I can't help it now, environment is like this, and what must I do? So, even if it's a hostile environment, things are hard and difficult, but I ask you, are you fair to yourself, to your material needs, with all the hostility and all the wrong injustices, etc.? Don't you do something for your material needs? A lot of things happening, fraud, stolen goods, interest, insurance, a lot of things happening, right? But with all that, all the pressure of the waves that are coming and crashing against you, but you will see to it that I need to do something for my physical and material needs. Don't you do that. And I ask you, if your material needs are not being, you can't see them materializing in one place, what happens? You remain there. You move on to some other place where I can do my business and I can operate well. Doesn't it happen? Sometimes a person from Durban is moving on to Tanzania. Someone sometimes from Zambia is coming to South Africa. Don't you see these things happen? What? What's pushing them? Is the material needs. So then you've got three needs. One is your physical, right? One is your material. One is your spiritual and dini. It's all needs. Physical security, right? Don't you need material, business and money, right? Then if these are important, then your deen and the dini need, isn't it important? And to find a friendly environment where all these things can flourish, isn't it important? So now, I say first option was that you are in the right place. Second option was you moved on somewhere else. Third option then till you are alive, you have to be constructive, alert, and to connect to a work that will look towards making a proper, conducive, Islamic friendly environment. You have to contribute towards it. That's why Ali used to say that when you're in a town, then you must do three things you must do when you're in any town, you're a resident of a town. One is you frequent the masjid, right? What I understood from when he said frequent the masjid is not just perform your namaz, with your namaz to see to the dini needs of the people around. Because then the masjid is functioning. Masjid is not only namaz. Even in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was a ta'limi halqa in the masjid. Wasn't happening. So ta'limi halqa also. So to see to it that dini need is being taken care of. So the ta'limi need in that day was done in the masjid. Now you are a maktab or a madrasa or whatever else. Earlier says that you have three duties when you are living in a town. Number two is then to recite the Quran Sharif. To recite. You're living somewhere, so one is you need to see that you're frequenting the masjid. Number two is you are reciting the Quran Sharif. That means your imam, your direction in life is the Quran Sharif. That's the direction. You're getting a direction from the Quran Sharif. Number three, to link up to a group of Muslims that will cooperate and help you in your dini matters. In all your dini matters, you need. Because, like for your material things, can you say, I can do my things myself? You need someone, right? If you are a shop, you need to have an attendant, right? You need to have an accountant, don't you? You need to have a consultant, right? So then everything goes well. Similarly now, your dini needs, you need different people to cooperate with them. Now let's make this, that's the figure. So there'll be a lot of dini needs. In the place that you are living in, there'll be a lot of dini needs. Now, for example, there are Muslims that are sick and ailing, right? What do you do for them? Old and handicapped, what do you do for them? Orphan and needy, so what do you do for them? Can you see? So you're making an environment. And the environment has to be conducive. That's why that hadith this morning is that Shaitan says, I love that person is engaging too much of in the field, but he's a miser. Why he loves the person? He's an abid, but he's a miser. Because he's not showing kindness to the environment. Whether it's a dini, dunya, whatever, he's not. So Shaitan loves that person. He's doing all secondary things, and things that he's supposed to be doing, he's not concerned about it. So you become the tool of Shaitan. But Shaitan wouldn't have loved you that. There must be something. He's got no connection with you. The same blood running out. Blood is not the same. Why he loves you? So then he can use the person. He can, you read namaz, zikr, a very pious person. So the third option is you have to make a conducive environment. So say for example, it's impossible, you can't say that. Say now, in this place here, someone has got a factory or something, and that thing is giving out some pollution, right? So, will the town people just remain silent? Or they'll complain that the pollution must be stopped? Won't they complain? Or someone, see the water lines coming through, everybody's drinking water, and someone is linking his sewage into the water line, right? So, will people come up in arms, will they object to it? Why? The water, air is getting polluted, we have to correct it. So, if that is a need, right, then I ask you, if someone is contributing towards the sickness of the spiritual sickness, he's contributing towards this spiritual sickness, dini sickness, then Don't we have a duty now to go and stop it? However, whatever, according to your means, correct the thing. We're living in a place sometimes. We're not concerned who's next door, what is contributing to the betterment or to the deterioration. There can be a satanic, a gay, algae, can be zina, clubs, or all this happening, right? But no. Oh man, it's a very peaceful place, no problems here. Where's the peace? So there is a peace, yeah, only in your physical self. For your physical self, there is peace. But in your dini self, are you in one peace? Today, they're doing it there. Tomorrow, what will happen to your child? What will happen to your son, to your daughter? What will happen to them? Did you ever think about it? So, like you got a material need, you got a physical need, you got a dini need. And everybody has to cooperate. Put his hand to the work. What can I do? How can I do it? You start off with two people, perhaps right now. What can we do? And the two will become 10, 20. We look at all different needs of Islam for that area. So won't Islam become strong then? Won't the deen become strong? If everybody thinks in that way. How the only time we think is if there is some looting, hey, youngsters come. Gun. So that gun story everybody likes, isn't it? After that, the looting stopped then, everything stopped. People come and ask Muslims, how is it to buy a firearm? So, at looting time, everybody will talk about firearm and whatever. After that, so the greater concern is only your wealth and your being. But your Islam, what are we doing actively for to see that the Islam is secure? For your wealth and for your physical well-being, how many things you put in place? And your Islam is well, then is there anything that you put in place to see that your Islam is well? So you look at this ayat of Hijrat. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا. That was one side of the story, right? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا. So that time, the hijrat was according to, it was one kind of hijrat. Now is another type of hijrat. It was also hijrat then, and also hijrat now. But the second thing to look into this whole equation is, الذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بأموالهم وأنفسهم. With your own wealth and your persons. So you can't get away from teaching a madrasa. But did you practice upon بأموالهم وأنفسهم, your wealth and your time? Personal translating is your time. Your time and your wealth. Do you do that? Yeah, I'm working here. I'm doing all this. So we say, alright, mashallah, you're doing. But the apparent application, is there the apparent application? Bi amwalihim wa anfusihim. So then if you think, how can I do it? See? So a Muslim in this world can't be complacent and free of worry. See, the Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا. See how it talks about it. لَا يَرْجُونَ, which starts off, لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا. There is no concern of the hereafter. No. لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا. So, the hereafter, life after death, has been abandoned. They threw it out. So this way they start off. Okay. Don't worry about the hereafter. Secular. So don't worry about it. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَوَانَا. Right. But from that point, how they move on. وَرَدُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. So the only concern is this life. Isn't it? See that? لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَوَانَا. Just look at this verse nicely. لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَوَانَا. And at the second level, وَرَدُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They Only fikr, only happiness is when dunya thrives, isn't it? So, if his business is very well, very, very well, so he's so happy about it, making a big party, calling all his friends and customers and all that. So, waradu bil hayati dunya. So his greatest concern is this life. And then, watma'annu biha. Look at the third. And he's comfortable with that. So, if it is that, for example, I'll show you an example, real, right? See how you see. If it is, see, waradu bil hayati dunya. So what pleases him? This life. Things are going well, business, everything going well. So that pleases him. Waradu bil hayati dunya. Now tell yourselves, ask yourself, right? Waradu bil hayati, ask yourself. So now, it was a burglary, Allahu Akbar, right? And see, lost half a million. Oh, what's wrong here? What's wrong with these people here? What are they doing? No system, no police, and all that. You make a big noise. For months, that you carry on. Good system, security, whatever. Why? Half a million went away. But I ask you, if one namaz went away, we're not talking of the jamaat. No, not jamaat. That namaz went away. You didn't read that namaz at all. Right? One is a jamaat, that's a big, in itself, it's a big calamity, right? But, now, the calamity is so great that it became qaza. Do we have any level of concern? See, that half a million? Hey, man. What happened here? Half a million, you know, the money doesn't go on trees, you know. What they think? It's come and damage property and destroy and steal. What they think? What a big story, you emotional about it. So I ask you, أَرَدِيتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ Is it applicable to us? أَرَدِيتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ It is happy about this. Akhir is nothing. See your behavior and your words speak about your mind. What? Your behavior and your words speak your mind. If this was a genuine calamity, you say, man, what a stupid thing I did, man. My jamaat is gone. Now I can't recover this. It went away now and then it just went. I don't know what happened. So for days on end, we'll be very worried about it. Talk about it. Feel upset about the whole thing. The whole, not one day, maybe a month or 2 months may be spoiled now. Just because of you missing one namaz. So, أَرَدِيتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ فَمَا مَتَاهُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ So what you running about, what you worried about, what you're stressing about, is insignificant compared to the hereafter. Very insignificant. So this makes the concern, fear, worry, etc. See this ayat again. الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا وَرَدُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاتْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا That brings about the comfort and peace. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ أَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ When we talk about deen, etc., the message of the Quran, the message of the Hadith, that they are not concerned, disconcerned. Just look at that repeatedly. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا وَرَدُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاتْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ أَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ So the message of Allah Ta'ala can be in different ways. One is the Quran, one is the Hadith. One is some signs come up, right? They had this one child born in class. You know, for some people, what a big disaster is. He said, one son is born. So, people come, very, very, very wealthy people. One son is born. What's the need to live now? I just had one son, and now there's no successor to my throne. Because I'm beyond that age where I can get another son. Beyond that age. Right. So now, that world went away, the dunya went away, so there's no meaning to his life. See that? The dunya went away, So there is no meaning to his life. لا يرجون لقاءنا وردوا بالحياة الدنيا واطمأنوا بها والذين هم عن آياتنا. So these are all signs of Allah Ta'ala. There's a child and the child is taken away. Calamity came in, right? The words of Allah Ta'ala comes into you. But you just disconcern, not worried about it. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارِ. See that? This is a sabab, you know, as an exercise. I would request this in your free time, just write this ayat or just look at it and think about it. Are we guilty of this ayat? أَرَدِيتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ. Have you preferred this life to the hereafter? Think about it, think deeply. And I showed you, you know, the concern is not just yourself. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum. It's an obligation. The amr comes to show obligation, unless there is an aris. Otherwise it comes for an obligation. So what have we done? So we're talking of abuse and use. Use and abuse. So before I talk about that, abuse and use, I have to show the present plight of our people, right? Where we are. So now, because وَرَدُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدِّنْيَا, you prefer this life, right? This life becomes the preference. So then deen, what happens to deen? Either it's totally disregarded, or will make it appear right. Will make it appear right. So this will happen to be, will try to make it look right. So we're talking about the chicken, you know, chicken story. Because the whole world is now chicken licken. Just digressing a little bit. One person, he had a chicken licken, right? Before that, sorry, I'll tell you. One person had a garage some 20-25 years ago. So two blocks away from him, someone else opened up a garage. He got worried, oh, this person is going to steal my business. He got a garage opening up. Hey, forget all that. Rozi comes from Allah Ta'ala. Let's do two things. Have the Woolworths concept. What do you mean Woolworths? Kafir. Concept. What concept mean? What is the concept? So I jogged his mind. What is it called? So it's got two things that's prominent. One thing they got in prominent is they'll give you good stuff, right? Quality things. The person will say, hey, these are the cheap things, right? Not from Woolworths. Won't they say that? Number two is they give a good level of service. Isn't it? Service and quality, right? So that's why they attract the clientele. So I told this person, in 2 years he became like the best garage in South Africa. In 2 years, the talent, he made the best. Now we're talking the chicken story, right? So now look at the other side of it. Now he's got a chicken licken, 2-3 blocks away, someone opened up ponchos, right? Now he's got kabratna, all the business is going to go away now. Every now and then, he'd send someone to the ponchos. How's he doing now? What's the lines? What's happening there? What his prices are like? His whole concern is consumed. Whole figure is consumed by that. He's sending his staff, go and check out what's going on. He's really terrified. See that? وَرَدِيتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ. That becomes the primary concern. Other things become by the way. Now he's driving also. When he's driving, he's looking and said, hey, what's happening here? But the poncho is checking what's going on. In the meanwhile, he went and locked into one taxi. 150,000 rand damage. Was it worth the while? Just to pay now. See. So tell you, worry about yourself. The story here is, worry about yourself. Your deen, your children, worry about all that. You worry about Ukraine and all China, all that, but What is it about? What do you wish for yourself? So you're talking of abuse. See? Because you can't do it right way, it's an abuse. You make it look right. So now he found that fat rooster and he knows the masla. He got some knowledge. So he knows the masla. What masla he learned? That if you find a property, a Muslim is being neglected, or his property is being neglected, then it becomes your duty to take care of him. That's where I branched off. The Muslim or his property. And the third is his deen. If he is being neglected, his property is in danger, he is in danger, his property is in danger, his deen is in danger. It doesn't become... Property is important. So deen is not important. Right. So if that is, the property is important, he is important, then isn't his deen important? So now, see, abuse of knowledge. So now, what he did? Rooster is nice, fat size. The thing is straight. Right. So he caught the thing. So he knows now, if it's lost property, he must advertise it. Now, do that advertisement so that it can satisfy me as well. So, it can satisfy Shari'i requirements, but I got an intention also. So this thing I must satisfy myself as well. Shari'i standards, but I should do the Shari'i standards in such a way so that I am comfortable and I enjoy the whole thing. So the Shari'i requirement was then, you advertise the thing, you can't find a owner, then you give it to a needy person. If you are needy, in need yourself, you can enjoy it. So now he has to marry the boat. So now he takes the rooster, goes to the marketplace, and he's shouting, Ya Murga! This rooster, and he put it down, slowly, this guy. Who's the owner? First time. And then he put it down again. Who's the, any owner? So now he did 1-2 days. You know, I have now conformed the Shari'i requirements. See, abuse. So you're using the Shari'i, but think within yourself. See, that's why Imam Bukhari said, start off with niyat. Innamal a'malu bin niyat. All your actions is based on the intention. You check deeply the intention of that. So he's got some knowledge. But I ask you, was that knowledge used or abused? Used or misused? Some people are clever in English, you know. Maybe Nasir. So tell us, what's the difference between abuse and misuse? After the root, but now love. See, so now 2 days advertise the thing, so there's no onus. Bismillah, Allah, but be a halal. Now, as I say, you have to see India history, because what's happening here throughout the world is a repetition of India. See, don't think it's modernism, it's all what has already happened. How they abused it and concocted things and made things permissible, all that. All these things is not new. You went through the whole process, it's just a repetition. That's why I say, look at history, but look at it objectively. Look at it objectively, you'll find a lot of lessons. There are other stories now, but now, some other day, inshallah.